From the 915 to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between. This is the 50-50 Podcast, powered by National Scouting Report. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, along with an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 50-50 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game. Here we go. It's another edition of Inside Texas High School Soccer, Season 4, Episode 5. Rafa, can you believe we've already made it to Episode 5, man?
Yep. Yep. The season is going pretty fast.
Yeah, and we've been a little bit, obviously, this is usually where we're actually slightly ahead of schedule, believe it or not. Normally, we're here, Episode 5, kind of coming around the start of the playoffs, and then boom, we go into playoff mode, right? launched by our 27-hour episode of Bracketology, which more details to come on that, right? But excited to be here again inside Texas High School Soccer. For those of you joining us for the first time, this is a spinoff series of the 50-50 Podcast, something we started 4 seasons ago, kind of by accident. Was really liked, was in demand, and we're happy to be here with you. So today, on today's show, we are going to be, we have a special guest who'll be joining us in a little while. Excited to have him. But we are going to be looking at regions 3 and 4, kind of an overview as we do with each one. We'll look at that. We'll look at the logistics of regions 3 and region 4, the regional tournament sites. We'll also discuss our awards, awards of the week, but they're not weekly awards, right? We give them at every episode. So we will have our teams of the week along with our game ball selection awards, and then introducing a new award, which we'll talk about later. And don't go anywhere, because the last thing you don't want to miss it will be our very much in demand state RPI, our Rafa Power Index, where we kind of put a different twist on our state rankings, and we essentially rank them on a pound for pound list, regardless of classification, for both the boys and girls. So anyone and everyone is considered from 4A to 6A. So, all right, Rafa, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. Just recovering from last night's SAFC home opener.
Don't say a little sore. Don't say it.
But if you want to hear the whole truth, tune in tonight for the SAFC Fancast. I'm sure Harry's got a lot to say. Royce and Robert and Matt and Jonathan. So if you want your insights on San Antonio FC, especially our opinions of last night's game, check us out tonight. Well, she'll be on about 7:30-ish.
Awesome. Little teaser. And again, so that is the San Antonio FC Fancast. And where can they find that, Coach?
So they can find us on X, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook. So we'll have the live stream on there. You can send us questions. And like I said, we're going to do pretty much overview of what we saw last night. And then the preview against Tampa Bay Rowdies, which I'm sure all of San Antonio is looking forward for that week. So someone having a reunion with somebody, with a former player. So we'll see how that goes.
Right. Awesome. So, all right. So, hey, let's excuse me. Let's go ahead. Let's dive right in. We're going to look at, again, start off with regions 3 and 4. We're going to start off with region 3. Going to take a good look at them. Just again, just an overview. And how we do this essentially is this, is we want to look at maybe some favorites at this point. Obviously, we know what's going on in the district races. Some district races have just wrapped up, and some are inside of their last 1 to 2 games. Some districts in certain regions playing this week during spring break week, which is not everybody has spring break at the same time. I understand that. But we're going to discuss that a little bit along with some dark horses. Can we identify a couple of Cinderellas in here as well? So, all right. Thoughts on, so here we are, we're starting off with 4A here, region 3. Thoughts on this one, Coach?
Yeah, this is a pretty, competitive district, but we've always had some teams that, every year there's always one that kind of shines. But if you're looking at maybe on the girls' side, you're looking at teams like Lumberton and Bay City. Those are probably your two that really kind of stand out as far as kind of your powers in region you know, here in Region 3. I know last year I had like a team like Giddings, also in the girls, and then you have you know, other teams like Lorena, here as far as the girls. So it's like I said, it's not to say it's always a revolving door, but you're starting to see a couple of teams kind of emerge as kind of like the super partners for Region 3 for the girls. Boys side, it's also kind of the same thing. You got some great teams, like I mentioned, like Lumberton. Like I said, both the Lumberton boys also, they hold their own. Huffman Hargrave, like I said, they made a run a few years ago. Waco La Vega has actually been the surprise team for the boys. Right. But like I said, I've read up on them, and they're having a great season, especially with a very young team too. So they lost a lot of seniors, and keep an eye on them. You have teams, like I said, from like District 20, like Sealy's done some great things. Here in District 21, one to keep a lookout is like Iowa Colony, Brazosport, and then Region 24. Like I said, Taylor made a run last year when they were in Region, when they were in Region 4. Taylor made a great run. Now in Region 3, same opportunities for them.
Yeah. Any excuse me. Anybody here that you look at, one that I'm intrigued with, one that we've been following closely all season, has been, in particular here, 18-4A on the boys' side, right? It's a great race they're going on, particularly all four spots, but particularly Huffman Hargrave and East Chambers, right? Winnie East Chambers. It's been a great battle back and forth, and it's just exceptional play when you look at the 4A level as well. You hit on a couple here, surprises. Anybody here, you look at this entire region, maybe on the boys' or girls' side, one true dark horse, one maybe potential true Cinderella on each side? What do you think?
I think the one, I guess, could be La Vega, because, you know, being for the boys' side, being La Vega, you know, that rebuilding that they had to do, and then they've just kind of turned it on, and they may, like I said, they're clicking at the right time. And this is a good opportunity for them to see how far they can challenge, you know, like teams like Huffman Hargrave, East Chambers, Lumberton. So, you know, that's one team you may not want to face in the playoffs. And like I said, I think they have a good shot. You know, if things go well for them, they can get into that regional tournament. Girls side, you know, like I said, I think the Giddings girls always kind of they fall under the radar. They've had some good seasons, like a dark horse, you know, maybe, you know, like the girls from Iowa Calling, even though they're a new team, they could be, you know, they could surprise some teams too as well. Yeah. But like I mentioned, that you're too big, as far as girls side, your two big ones are Bay City and Lumberton. I could probably end up being your regional final there.
Right. Okay. Good deal. All right, we move on to, all right, so we're going to look at 4A. Let's see here. We'll shuffle back through here. So we look at 4A. Here we go. Sorry, 5A Region 3. Thoughts here as we look at Region 3 now at the 5A level.
Yeah, this is, you got some really good teams here, and this is probably one of the toughest regions to come out with, because you see quality here. You look at teams like, you know, as for, we'll start with the girls side, you look at Friendswood. They've been a perennial powerhouse for decades, as you can say.
Right.
You got teams like A&M Consolidated, College Correct. Station.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at, is District 21. Yeah.
Yeah, and also the Magnolia teams too. They've had some good right. runs too. But then you look at District 23.
yeah,
you got a regional finalist, I mean, a state finalist in Georgetown, but you know, you got an Eastview team that's good too. You got a Hendrickson. Then District 21 kind of also follows under the radar. There, that's a very competitive district. And for the girls side, you know, keep your eye on Full Shear, Randall. You know, so those are kind of like on the boys side, those are probably some teams that they could look out for.
Yeah. Good deal. All right. And we move on here. We'll go to 6A. We wrap up Region 3, kind of Region 3 overview before we look at the logistics here. Thoughts on obviously some heavy hitters here, 6A Region 3.
Yeah. The one that, you know, that stands out the most is that District 19. That's kind of like, you know, probably one as far as top five toughest districts in state, regardless of 4A, 5A, 6A, this is one of them. And mm-hmm. this is a playoff game. Each game, you got defending state champions, Seven Lakes, but you also have a like I said, you got teams like Morton Ranch, Katie Jordan, you know, Tompkins is another great team, both boys and girls, you know, so both the boys and girls, like I said, this is one of the toughest districts. But another, you know, other ones, you got also like the Cy Fair districts. They're very competitive too, you know. Mm-hmm. You have like Cy Creek, Cy Ridge, Fort Bend. You got the one that's been making a lot of noise has been Ridgepoint, boys and the girls this year. Yeah. So you got some, and then also you have Houston Straight Jags with the only, like I said, private school in, like I said, in Region 3. They've had some success too. So it's, like I said, it's pretty stacked for 6A for both boys and the girls. And, you know, to come out of this region says a lot as far as your program.
Right, right. So give us, while we transition here, maybe a Cinderella. Can you identify maybe a Cinderella that you like personally on boys or girls side here?
You know, for 6A, for boys, keep an eye on Ailey Felsick. Mm-hmm. They've, like I said, they've made some deep runs. I know this year they haven't really been gotten the publicity. Keep an eye on them. They could surprise some teams this year. And then maybe even one of the other KD teams. I know, like I said, Seven Lakes has been getting the press. But you got teams like Jordan and Tompkins. I think they can challenge them and Pato as well. They can challenge them, you know, going into the regionals.
Right. And understand this may not be you may not be able to read this the absolute best. We'll try to magnify here this a little, zoom in a little. So regional sites here for as we look at, so 4A, 5A, and 6A, looking at 4A here, Region 3, thoughts on this location. So we talk about KDI Legacy Stadium, KDISD. This will be the site for the regional tournament for 4A. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, they're kind of like the usual, like I said, places. But I'm sure the region for a Planet Cabin is not a lot of people like because of the wind. I think that's always been a big factor. I guess that we've competed down there.
We'll talk to region 4, I should say, in a second. But yeah, region 3 in particular.
Region 3.
A lot of people really seem to like Legacy Stadium, though.
Yeah. Great site. They invested a lot of money in that stadium. So,
right.
So a lot of players like that. But also you got your traditional ones, you know, mm-hmm. like Northwest. So they're as well. And then you have other ones like from Humble. Yeah. I think Deer Park as well. And then now you have the Region 5 for Brownsville Sports Park, which is a nice, if you haven't been down there, it's a nice complex. So they got some really good ones.
Yeah, yeah. We move on to 5A, looking at Region 3 here again. So in 5A, Humble ISD, Turner Stadium, hosted by Humble ISD. This one looks to be kind of another big, gigantic facility, great first-class facility. Only seen pictures of this one, have not been in this one yet. How about you?
No, I haven't been to that one. The only one, like I said, has been to the one for 5A, the Brownsville mm-hmm. Sports Park. I've been there a couple times. It's a nice little venue, nice little keep you out of the sun. So great sights. And then 6A, like I said, Deer Park. Like I said, it's been the home there for quite some time.
At Hampshire Stadium.
So it's a great facility there. Even though when they had that situation with from the hurricane and so forth, they were able to band together and, you know, fix the stadium. So I'm glad that everything's 100% there. And then you also have Comalander there for 6A mm-hmm. for the boys, which has been one of the hosts for quite some time.
Yeah, yeah, good deal. And so that's going to do it. As we're trying to move a little quicker on these, right? And looking at Region 3, discussing again. So the leaders, of course, in addition, can we identify some dark horses, some Cinderellas, which we're going to get into much more detail in our upcoming episodes, coupled with bracketology. But now we are going to go ahead and bring in our special guest joining us. He is the head women's soccer coach of Buda Johnson Jaguars. He is Coach Bannon. Coach, how are you?
I'm good. How are y'all doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining us, Coach. How are things on a Sunday? Thank you for joining us.
Good, actually relaxing. Since we got spring break right now, I can actually take a breather and and kick up and not watch film and worry about the next week ahead. So it's nice.
I was going to say relaxing. What is that?
Right? Hey, if anytime I can get like a minute just to breathe, I think, especially in the district that we're in, I think it's a great thing to be able to breathe. Because I was talking to Coach Maloney over at LT, and actually all the coaches, we all text each other last Friday night, and we're like, where do we all want to meet to hang out?
So we're gonna talk about that in a minute, but before we get into that, just tell us, so you guys have your district, as I understand it, elected not to play at all during spring break, and I believe you have one or two matches left.
We have two matches next week.
Okay, so 26-6A, right, the likes of Austin Akins and Austin Anderson as well, Coach Horvath, who's been on here, Bowie, Lake Travis, yourselves, Westlake, Del Valle, Dripping Springs, to name a few. Tell us what that has been. I know what it's been like, and we've been kind of covering that pretty regularly, but from your perspective, the coach's perspective, and just being in it, what has that been like so far this year?
It's, you can't breathe. you have to, you know, like at the beginning of the year, when we all met at Tasco, we were all sitting there talking. And the first thing I told all the coaches was, you know what? This season, I think it's going to be a special season for everybody, because it's going to be one of those things where every game matters. It's not like you can take a game off. You can say, oh, we can just sit back and relax. And that's something special. You know, a lot of young players and athletes do not get to have that type of experience where they're in such a strong district that, or anything, that there's highs and lows with every game. They might play some games that, especially in club, where they're going and they're just rolling, they're just going. And, you know, and this year it's not, you know, last year when we came in, I told the girls our path to playoffs was we had to take care of Anderson, Austin High, Bowie, Akins, and Del Valle. And then this year, which I knew Emily was going to be really, really, really good this year in Anderson, I was like, it's different. With us making playoffs, now we're one of the top four that people are going to come after, and they have to take care of us. And so it's something special. It really is, you know, and talking to Darcy on Friday before our game, it's something special that we may be able to feel again sometime soon, or it might not, I said, but it's something special that we all take. We're all in agreement in saying that this is a pretty cool situation we have.
Yeah. And you're not exaggerating there, because you have still six teams, I think, in play for the four spots, if I'm not mistaken, and all separated by within a game and a half of each other.
Yeah. We're all doing the beautiful mind game right now. I have a special spreadsheet that my assistant coaches think it's funny. I call it the what if spreadsheet.
Oh yeah.
And I have so I update it every week and then go through different scenarios. Way it is right now is there's three teams tied for first place right now, with us, Anderson, Westlake at 29 points. Lake Travis behind us with 28. And then I believe Drip is underneath LT with 23, and then Bowie is there with like 21. And so in these next two games, it really is kind of, it's going to separate some, and we're going to see it. You know, we have people have been asking us, like, who are you going to play, or are you in playoffs? And I'm like, nope, I don't know. That's like it. I was like, I said, with anything, and I tell the girls every week, I was like, you can go from first to fourth or first to fifth if you have a bad week. And I said, you're not, we cannot have a bad week or a bad day.
Yeah. So, and that even, it's so tight in that race in 26-6A that you don't even have to lose, right? Even in a draw per se, right? Like that can affect you.
A draw can affect
big
time. You know, like right now, there's one scenario that I looked at that, you know, and it's Anderson, if they clear the table for the next two games, they're district champs. And, you know, they were sitting in third, fourth, and then we could all of a sudden go from first place, tie for first place, down to fourth place. And I'm like, and our team after our game against Westlake, we were sitting there talking, and we were like, well, I said, right now the LT, because we have LT and Del Valle next week, that I was like, those are important games, because now we're looking at seeding. And I was like, we could go from first and possibly play Stony Point to go fourth and play Round Rock. So That's a big swing. And so that's one of the things that everybody in our district is well aware of.
Mm-hmm. I got to see this. I got to see this flow chart, Coach, before it's all said and done. Right. I got to see it.
I actually have it color coded. I have everything. I have like on the side, like game possible points, everything. My wife makes fun of me because I'm more organized in work than I am at home. So
is it like the Steve Kornacki board? Like when he does on.
Aren't we all as coaches, right? I can tell you everything that's going on with my entire roster, and I can't tell you about half the things going on at home, right?
So, oh no, I have to have a calendar up right here to make sure I know where I'm taking my kids every day.
Right, right. You're not lying. So, so in that, Coach, right? So you have two matches left. Tell us a little bit of what's on tap. When, who do you have? What days? What's left? Because you know we tweeted, what was it, maybe about a week and a half ago or so, mm-hmm. on this particular district about, you just know it is going to come down to the last 5 minutes of the last game of the regular season in district play here in this particular district. This is one of the, maybe there might be two or three other districts that have as tight of a race as this. Who do you got left?
We have LT on Tuesday, and then we have Del Valle on Friday. So
that'll be Tuesday, March 19th, correct? Yeah. And mm-hmm. Friday, March 22nd, day before district certification. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that it's, you know, you have an LT and our athletic coordinator was like, who'd y'all have? I said, we had just had Westlake. And then he goes, who do you have on Tuesday? I was like, Lake Travis. He goes, man, you're going through murderer's row. Mm-hmm. I was like, you should have seen the last 8 weeks. I said, that's the way it's been.
Yeah. 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 So interesting question here, Coach. So we got one here from Mr. Ridge, actually. So how are tiebreakers in your district settled? Yeah.
Why does he want to know?
If you can break that down in 30 seconds, go.
I think really it's head-to-head matchup first, and then head-to-head matchup first, and then after that it's goals, like goals scored. And then like right now, like if we were tied with Bowie, we swept them during the season, we would have tiebreak advantage versus them. And then if it came down tied to Dripping Springs, we would have a tiebreaker with them. Westlake, but we beat Westlake the first time, but they beat us the second time. But the goal differential on that was different. They beat us 4-0. We beat them 1-0. So they have +3 on us. And so that's basically how it's looked for. It's head to head first. And then after that, goal differential.
Goal differential direct. And then from there, got it. Okay. Good. Rafa, you got anything for Coach?
Yeah, Coach, going into the season, did you anticipate, you know, as far as, how, you know, you're going to be contending for the district title, especially in this tough district? Because I know Lake Travis and Westlake and Dripping Springs have kind of been getting the coverage, the accolades and so forth. How did you feel going into the 2024 season?
Well, if you would have told me that I would be tied for first place the last couple of weeks, I would have said you're hanging out with Matthew McConaughey way too much. Because you know, we are a good team. We're a really solid team, and I knew that we would be once again fighting for a playoff spot. I didn't know where we would land in that, but I knew that we would be fighting for that playoff spot. And that's why, you know, preseason during like scrimmages, I went with, you know, Westwood. We scrimmaged New Braunfels Canyon because I had a feeling that they would be in our district next year, which they are. So that way I could get a feel for that. And then our first like non-district scheduled match before district was San Antonio Taft. And I wanted the girls to be tested by a really, really good team before we got into our district, which is heavy. And so that's why then after we played Anderson and we got swept, we had to have a come to Jesus moment and talk about mistakes and immaturity and how to handle things. And it changed their mindset. It changed my mindset. And but we're very thankful and happy to be in the position that we are in at this moment, especially, you know, we're only in our fourth varsity season as a school. And I think a couple of weeks y'all said it best when y'all saw us against Alamo Heights. We were lost. That was a crazy game. We that was one of those games. We rode on the bus home, and I was like, "What just happened?" And we've been slowly, steady building towards something, and we're starting to see the fruits of our labor at this moment right now.
Did I forget anything else for Coach?
Yeah, well, just to kind of jump ahead, how do you look into next year now with the change of districts? And also the movement to District 29, which now you're going to place the Valley teams in the playoffs, mm-hmm. like the Laredo Valley teams. How do you feel about that, you know, going into next year?
I feel pretty confident. You know, we're going to be losing a couple of young ladies that have helped us build our program in our midfield. And so we have some junior sophomores and some freshmen that are on our program right now that I've been kind of eyeing and training to get to where they need to be. But I think we'll be successful. You know, I know for a fact that those teams, especially, you know, a Steel, Shirts, New Braunfels Canyon, San Marcos, they're really, really good programs. And I know we're going to face some different competition once we get down into the Valley area. And, you know, we look forward to the challenge and meeting it head on, kind of like our post the other day. It says, an arrow is pulled back before it goes forward. So, you know, we have to pull back and look what we need to do and then go forward as fast as we can.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. I like that. I like that little breakdown there of the arrow. I was like, ooh, I like that.
So that's actually my assistant. After every game, I hand her the phone and I go, here you go. And she goes, and we sit there going back and forth on what we're going to say.
Well, Coach, you're too busy with flow charts, man. Algorithms. how would you have time to come up with that? Right. So
awesome. I don't.
So before we let you go, Coach, we appreciate you joining us. We're going to go ahead. We're going to bring up, we want to take a look at 6A Region 4 with you. Okay. And just give us a little insight. Give us that coach perspective as well, right? As we look at your region here, 6A. Thoughts. So the way we kind of look at this, we're not trying to pick district champions per se mm-hmm. from every single district. We kind of already know who the leaders are in these districts for the most part, but hey, one or two that really to look out for, maybe some dark horses in here and maybe even a Cinderella or two. And in your case, we can talk about the girls' side.
Okay. I mean, me personally, of course, I would, you know, be bad if I didn't say us. You know, I think we've done really well. Because I'm a realist sometimes, is that you have to look ahead and say, you know, it depends on where we're seated. You know, Round Rock is a very good school. Westwood's a very good school. That entire Round Rock district with Vista, Stony Point, all them, that they play really, really good soccer up there. So even if you get drawn with anyone from District 25, I think it's going to be a very difficult way to get out into, you know, the next round. You know, my big thing is San Antonio Taft. When we played them, man, they were good. I was they moved the ball so well, and I think they're going to be pretty good. I think, you know, we just played them, but I think Anderson and Westlake in our district were probably two of the teams that I've seen in a long time that have ramped up energy and have really, really stepped it up in the last 2 to 3 weeks. And so I think, you know, District 25 and District 26, I think that's where you're going to get some surprises and Cinderellas for me personally. And then once you get into, I'll be honest, I have nothing. I really don't know that much about District 30 through 32. And I've only heard of District 28. You know, me being, you know, I was at Lehman High School forever. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we played mostly Austin schools. We played, you know, when we were a 4A school and we were playing Smithville and Giddings and all that. So being a head coach and starting to, you know, learn about these other teams is still new to me. And so I'm only going with the names that I've seen on a constant basis.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And yeah, that's a great breakdown there. And I would definitely agree with you there in 26-6A, both in coach, you know, they're, of course, they're, you know, full disclosure, they're also alums of the podcast and coach, you know, Will Maloney, Emily Horvath, mm-hmm. And Coach Horvath has done a tremendous job at Anderson.
She has. We met, and I told her, I said, I'm going to miss playing her because it makes our team better, makes me a better coach. Same thing with Darcy over there. Really, all the coaches there. And one of the big things that we've already talked to each other is like, we still want to play each other. So we're kind of scheduling scrimmages with each other. So that way we can still be in contact. So that way we can still play and, you know, work out the kinks with each other.
Right, right. Well, you see, and that's kind of the beauty of now, you know, with them going to 5A, right, next year, which I'm not looking forward to being in 5A myself, right? But I think with them now coming down to 5A, not being in your district now, you mentioned a scrimmage, but now you can maybe even try to see if you can get them on the schedule for a non-district, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you don't have to make a 2-3 hour trip to try to get in a non-district game maybe or anything like that. So, Coach, this has been great. Have loved having you on here. Really appreciate your time. Want to be respectful of your time. But before we let you go, just wanted to give you the floor real quick. Any shout outs, thank yous, anything you want to share with your community, your team, your program, what have you, the floor is yours.
You know, with me, I'm very thankful for my assistant coaches, Coach Glick, Coach Little and Coach Chandler Reedy. We wouldn't be where we are without them. Those three amazing women really, really help us out. And they help me out in the fact that, you know, one's the crazy aunt, one's the mom, and then one's the general and sheriff. And so they, you know, without them, I don't think that we would have the success that we're having. And also to, you know, the Johnson community. Our principal, Brett Misch, and our athletic coordinator, Coach Hoffman, our athletic director, Lance Moffitt, Dusty Gibbs, they all support all the programs 100%. They've been to our games. It's just nice to have a community that is behind you 100%. The parents, all the players, the alumni now that we have, it's nice to see everyone coming in a community and coming together for a common cause. And I think that that's what sets Johnson apart. And I look forward to being here for a while.
Awesome. Well, keep up the great work. You've done a tremendous job. I know last year you guys picked up some momentum, right? And you're talking about the playoffs and what you've accomplished this year has been, I know, is getting people's attention. So congratulations to you.
I appreciate
wishing you all the absolute best of luck in your remaining games, and look forward to being able to see you in the second season, as we call it, upcoming soon. So.
Oh yeah, the girls called it. Let's have a playoffs 2.0 and not go out in the first round. So I was like, I like that. I like that mentality.
There you go. Thanks again for your time, Coach, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Take care.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Bye.
All right, thoughts, man.
No, great program, great story. Like I said, he's done an excellent job really building it. You know, since we went to go see them play, like I said, at Alamo Heights, you can tell that the talent that they have, the potential, and here's the end result here. They're, you know, contending for a district title, like I said, and one of the toughest districts in the state. And like I said, I think a lot of teams better not, you know, take them lightly going in, and I think they can really do some great things and go deep and, you know, end up representing, you know, their district in that regional tournament there at Comalander.
Yeah. And it's not taking anything away from the talent he has on his roster, but what you can really tell with his group is he has them bought in, and they're, you know, they're playing at a great level. Right. So kudos to them. So thanks again, Coach Banning and Buta Johnson, for joining us. All right, Coach, let's jump right back in. We'll continue. We'll go. We're going to start right where we left off in 6A Region 4 here. As we look at them here, any quick thoughts? I know we kind of had this one up for a good bit as Coach Banning was talking to us, primarily, obviously, on the girls' side. But any thoughts, one or two things here on the girls' side, and then we can discuss the boys.
Well, the last few years has been dominated – as far as on the girls' side, it's been dominated by the Austin teams. Like I said, last year, Round Rock and Westwood met in the final. Like I said, Westlake and Lake Travis has been there too. But then you have, like I said, you have new contenders with Beulah Johnson and Anderson. So, and it makes things a lot, you know, a lot more precarious, especially for the San Antonio teams. But if you look at District 27, some great seasons by the ladies from New Braunfels, Clemens. I know they had a little rough patch, but I think they're starting to kind of get it back together. And then also Steels had a great season. District 28, like I said, we're a little familiar a lot with, one, like I said, also a real tough district. Johnson's pretty much wrapped up the district title. I think they could be the surprise also to go deep as well, maybe represent San Antonio for there at Georgetown. But you also have great programs like Reagan, Lee, Madison. They're having great seasons. And then Coach mentioned about Taft. Taft pretty much is going to wrap up that district title. But you have other good teams like O'Connor. O'Connor's kind of starting to get their feet wet and ready to go, you know, because even though had, like I said, they also had a little rough patch, but they're going forward. Very talented Warren team. They're young, but they got some good players on that team, so keep an eye on them. Brennan's another one. I know they're struggling a little bit. You know, we'll see what comes down to. It becomes between them or Jay in that last playoff spot. And then you look at the Laredo and Valley teams. Laredo United's actually going to win. I'm more likely going to win that district. And I think you got to face them earlier on, so they have a talented team too.
Yeah.
And then down in Brownsville, the one that really the two teams are Harlingen and Los Fresnos, and those are the two teams that do make deep runs and getting could see them in the regional tournament as well. Right. As far as boys side, like I said, right now you're looking at teams like Johnson Boys, Brandeis. But you also have Brownsville Ravetta, who went to the regional, final last year. Surprised everybody, beat a really good Lee team. You got Harlan, Laredo Alexander's another team. Also the boys from United. And then on the Austin side, like I said, you could take a look at, teams like Austin Bowie's been, we kind of thought we were going to have a little drop on them. No, they've kept it up like they did last year. Now, here's the thing, can they – learn from that disappointment, that first round loss, and kind of take it, make a run. And then you have the teams also in that in 25, you have your Stony Points, your Ron Rocks, and your Vandegrifts.
Yeah. 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 A lot of interesting matchups, some races still not decided yet. So, no. All right, we move on here. We will look at 5A region 4. We'll start on the girls' side, Coach. Any key thoughts here in terms of one or two key leaders that stand out to you, along with any legitimate dark horses or Cinderellas?
Well, the one that really kind of made a statement, as far as winning a district title, even though, like I said, is Piper. Piper's really, kind of now looking to see if they can take that next step and make a deep run. So that District 26, you got four teams that could literally
– right.
be in a regional tournament. Also District 25, you got some that Leander team's very good. Keep an eye on them. Also the ladies from Leander Rouse.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a barn burner who they face.
25 5A, top to bottom. I think Cedar Park is sitting there in the fourth spot right now. That is a extremely strong four seed there.
Yeah, and then on the girls side, continued 27. Your district, Alamo Heights, like I said, they've had a good showing this year, and also your team too. I got to give kudos here. Your team has done a great season this as well. 28, you got some good programs. Like Southwest has been pretty much the class of 20, but they're tied right now with a very surprising Medina Valley team.
I was going to say, this one's gotten very interesting between Southwest and Medina Valley, right?
And then you also have a really sneaky McCollum team too. They have a really talented striker as well. But then also 29 doesn't get enough coverage, and they got some good teams there. You have a great Portland, Berners Memorial. Those two teams could give you some trouble in the playoffs. And then the District 31. What can you say about McCallum Memorial? Undefeated.
Yeah.
They've had a great season. They can make a splash into the regional tournament. They're even making him get
historic season, no doubt.
But then also their sister school McCallum, who's been kind of had the
It's all the pub.
More the Tigers for the pub, yeah. So that another dangerous team too. And then you also have a team like Harden in the South too. So that's also as dangerous. So a lot of great teams. We can see a lot of great scenarios in the playoffs on the girls side.
Yeah. All right. And on the boys side, maybe give me two key strongholds to look out that could maybe make a run all the way to the regional final and maybe even state. Who would you pick?
Well, the one that's been really, you know, taking care of business is Leander Glenn. They're undefeated. I think this could be their year to represent Region 4. They have a good shot, but I think, you know, there's some other contenders that surprised too. Has been the Piper boys too. That's another team that's also had a great season.
Yeah, they wrapped up this district. It seems like two weeks ago.
And then this is a tough district too, because you got Bernie Champion, Swinson Valley, a very good Canyon team. Also, Vernon's Memorial. I don't know, they're not making the playoffs. They actually had a couple upsets, so you know, it wasn't a cakewalk in that district.
Correct.
But then you got other contenders, you know, kind of like dark horses, like the Alamo Heights boys, even the MacArthur boys. You have about Southwest, but then you also have to look at the Valley. And the Valley teams, Porter just beat Lopez. It was in the key game for contention first place. But the surprise team, keep an eye on this team. Their dark horse is Donna North. Yeah. They've had an excellent season. They're sitting in first place right now by 1 point over Porter and I think Lopez. And it's going to come down to the last couple games. They may be your dark horse coming out of the Valley. Maybe could end up going to the state tournament.
Yeah. And one to highlight, obviously, just locally here, District 27 5A here on the boys side, Alamo Heights and San Antonio MacArthur going head to head tomorrow for what is essentially for the district title. So that should be a very, very tasty matchup. All right. And we move on here. We'll wrap up here with 4A Region 4, starting on the girls side. Coach, thoughts?
Well, the four that really kind of stand out is District 26 and some crazy scenarios. I got to saw the scenarios on next today. You have Davenport, you have Canyon Lake, Wimberley, and then your regionals, your state semifinalists and Bernie. It's going to come down to the last game of the season. I know Davenport has the tiebreakers, but there's they're facing a Canyon Lake team that they actually lost to. So that could change, and a loss to them could change things. And also, Bernie's got to play Wimberley. So it's basically kind of like an elimination game to who gets the district title. That's we could see those four teams in the regional tournament, you know, or actually in the quarterfinals, and then to have two of them go to the regional tournament. Yeah. Another one, maybe not much attention, is Burnett. Burnett's had a great season, but they're going to have a tough matchup. You know, and I know they'll be the one seed. You know, they'll have a tough matchup more like against Canyon Lake. You have the Lavernia girls too, a contender there. Then the Corpus area, you have Kai Allen. Remember, Kai Allen made a run a couple years ago. So they you can see them. They're always going to be tough. Same thing with Corpus Christi London. So those are the teams that you're going to you could see going deep into the playoffs. Yeah. For the girls.
We shift over to the boys' side, and what's largely the question becomes, right, is who can legitimately go toe-to-toe and win this? Who can go toe-to-toe with and win this outside of Bernie, right? That kind of becomes the question, right? So thoughts on that?
Well, the one that did it last year is the defending state champs, was Zidalgo, and so not as strong as that where they were last year. You know, kind of some projections that we did on the round table. They may end up meeting in the regional semifinal. And I'm sure Bernie's going to be looking forward for that game. We're looking for some revenge. Right. Another team to kind of keep an eye out is Marble Falls. They've actually had a great season this year. Also, Corpus Christi London's another team. The Lavernia boys, we'll see how far they can go this year. And you know, they've been some disappointing because like first round losses a couple back to back years. Can they make a deep run? And looking at kind of the kind of the bracket, it's kind of favorable for them that they can do that. And then you also have some, like I said, you have teams like Progreso. Keep an eye on them. They've had an excellent season too. So those are, yeah, those are kind of your 5-6 contenders for this region.
And I know we'll obviously get into a couple of these, right? Progreso in particular will come up a little bit later in one of our other items that we have to discuss. But that's going to do it for Region 3, Region 4 overview. Anything you want to add to that, Coach?
Like I said, I know Region 1 and kind of Region 2 kind of get, you know, they've had lately the more of the state champions, but we've got some state champions here in Region 3 and 4, and we've got some quality teams too that can compete, and you know, and we could end up seeing them lifting the trophy in April.
Yeah, yeah. And now we're going to go ahead. We're going to move on. We're going to shift here. We're going to go jump right into wrong one here. That is not the one. Not the one we were trying to. All right, here we go. So got an early sneak peek there. There we go. Yeah, so let's try this again. All right, so we're going to look at our teams of the week and game ball awards. We're going to start off with Rafa, here we go. So again, the way we do this kind of every show, we identify boys and girls teams as well as our game ball awards. Take it away, Coach.
So my teams of the week, I guess I go for the boys. It goes to Brownsville St. Joseph's, my dad's hometown. First ever TAPS state championship. They fell a little short last year, one game short last year. Here they finally got it done, and congratulations to them on winning their, you know, the first ever title. And then for the girls, I have the Midland Greenwood team. Very, very young program, just 3 years old. They already wrapped up the district title, undefeated district title too. They could be our dark horse in that for 4A in Region 1, so keep an eye on them. And then as far as my Game All Awards, you got to love the name here, Alan Iverson Rojas.
Yeah. When you send that to me, I thought you were joking. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. I was like, dude, that's.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, is that for real? I said, yeah, that's his name. So, yeah. Alan Iverson Rojas.
He will make the 2023-2024 all name list, right? That we'll submit at the end of the year, right?
Yeah. So I nominated him from Cy Ridge High School in the Houston area. He had a hat trick versus Houston Stratford. He's having a great season so far. And then for the girls, I had Ashley York from Houston Bel Air. She had 5 goals against Houston Westbury. So wow. great work from her. Like, I think that'll be another team also kind of look out for also in the playoffs too as well.
Yeah, they've been a little quiet, right, for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, right, not they've been getting it done, but been a little quiet, surprisingly. So, all right. So that's going to do it for Rafa. So we shift over to mine. So teams of the week for me, going to start off with the Allen boys, who they took, moved up into the first position in 5-6A with their win on Friday. So congratulations to them. The kind of team that's been hovering right in there in that RPI mix, right? And getting it done. A lot of very, very much a senior-laden team looking to make a big push again out of 5-6A. A couple of matches remain. I think they have one or two left, so we'll be interesting to see where they fall when it's all said and done. And on the girls' side, San Antonio Piper, some know them as Comel Piper, here in the greater San Antonio area. Congratulations to them winning their first ever district title. And they've only been around for a couple of years. This will be their 2024 will mark their first graduating class as well. So kudos to them. Congratulations to them winning their first district title, kind of in a little bit in an ironic fashion, right? In a 0-0 draw versus Smithson Valley in what was essentially a winner take all, dependent upon or if not dependent upon points, right? So congratulations to them, to the Piper Warriors winning their first ever district title. And my game ball awards. Goalkeeper Ryan Palmer, San Antonio Johnson, jumping in to replace their wall, right?
Angelo Acco, right? Who was one of my game ball award winners earlier on in the season.
Yeah, a couple episodes back. That's right. I forgot about that. He stepped in a very critical game, Ian's Cup versus Reagan, San Antonio Reagan, took care of business. So congratulations to him. That's not always easy when you come in off the bench as a goalkeeper, especially in a tight game. Big rivalry game as well. And then on the girls' side for my game ball awards, want to go ahead and select, give a shout out to Ashley Rosales of El Paso High, who a couple of games ago took care of business, hat trick and an assist in helping lead them to their district, I believe, back-to-back district titles. So Ashley Rosales of the El Paso Tigers in District 1-5A. So, all right. And now we're going to go ahead and we're going to introduce, Coach, our new team award here, right? Or new award, I should say, not team award, but something we wanted to introduce this week that we will periodically kind of sprinkle in. And so we're going to go ahead and roll this one out here, a little drum roll here. So, yeah. And it is going to be our Coach of the Week award now. So identifying a coach periodically that's doing great things and being able to recognize our coaches around the state. Coach, take it away.
So I selected probably one of the best coaches from the Rio Grande Valley, legendary coach Patrick Arney from McAllen Girls Soccer. Congratulations to him on his 600th win as a head coach. Very few coaches get to that, that win number. So Congratulations to him. But, you know, what you can say about Coach Arney, he's really built a really great and excellent program at McAllen. Mm-hmm. And like I said, remember, they had a run a few years ago. They got, knocked off a couple, ranked teams to get to the state tournament. So kudos to him. And like I said, McAllen's very lucky to have him, and we'll see how they do in the playoffs. I'm sure they're going to be favored to probably see him in the regional tournament, so maybe even state tournament as well.
No doubt. Congratulations, Coach Arney. And then we will go ahead and we will move on with mine as well. Coach of the Week goes to Coach Laura Peter, Friendswood Girls Soccer, who back on, I believe it was February 28th, right? So captured her 500th victory, 500th career victory. So congratulations to her. And we talk about what just an incredible program, right? A staple that is Friendswood. Pretty awesome stuff. Thoughts on this one, Coach?
Yeah. What can you say about the Friendswood program? They've been very consistent. I think they're kind of like the gold standard there in the Houston area when it comes to girls soccer. They're one of the few programs that I see as the gold standard, and I'm going to give it up to Coach, Peters there, year in, year out to always be contending, and it's tough to keep that, consistency to be in the playoffs and make deep runs in the playoffs and win state titles too. So congratulations to Coach Peter on winning her 500th win.
Yeah, no doubt. Congratulations, Coach. And I know a coach always shares that, with their entire program. So that's obviously never just about the coach. So congratulations to both coaches, right? So on our inaugural, all right, winning our inaugural Coach of the Week awards. So if you know of a coach, again, so for all of these, right? So we talk about our, whether it's a game ball, we put this out there, whether it's a game ball, a team of the week, or even a coach of the week. If you know of something pretty special that's going on out there, someone you think that's accomplishing, doing some great things as well, and you feel deserves to be recognized within our game right here in within Texas high school soccer, don't hesitate to reach out to us, share a story with us. We'd love to be able to tell those stories as well beyond just the awards themselves. So all right, that does it with our awards, Coach. And now, all right, after kind of a little sneak peek there, we'll jump into our RPI, starting off with the girls here. So, and again, if you're joining us for the first time, the way we do these, our state RPIs, our Rafa Power Index, these are done on a completely different type of scale. We look at our top 15 in the state, regardless of classification, right, based upon their body of work, the degree of difficulty within their district, their strength of schedule as well, who they've played, obviously some pedigree as well, and their strength of coaching as well. We factor all these in, mix them all up together, and Rafa comes up with this. And then we also identify an additional five that we call our next five in. So, all right, Rafa, let's go ahead. Let's jump in. Let's look at our first five here.
So first five, like I said, the ones been kind of the staple this the last few months has been the Salt Lake Carroll girls. 21-0-1, pretty much are wrapped up their district title and more likely going to be the favorite going into the playoffs as far as getting to Georgetown and lifting the trophy. So we'll see which teams can contend against them this year. Number two is the Frisco Wakeland. They've been, like I said, after some disappointment from last year, they've really and turn things around here in the undefeated season. And I think they're willing, they're ready to make another run and get back to Georgetown and lift and lift, like I said, lift another trophy there. Another program from the Dallas area is Colleyville Heritage. Like I said, another staple program. You know, great season. They're just, they just roll along, you know, keep on rolling along. You know, they don't rebuild, they reload. And another, there probably could be on a collision course with Wakeland in the playoffs. Out of the Houston area, you got Bridgeland. Bridgeland, great season. Could they be the ones that, you know, kind of break through and get to Georgetown? And then number five, which I had actually close to number at number two for a bit, it was Wiley East. Still a great season. They had a loss, a surprising loss. I mean, we saw that the posts on there when they lost to Garland Sasky. But still, I think they'll learn from that loss. Still a dangerous team. They're in Region 2. And like I said, you know, they could, like I said, they may, we'll see them more likely again. I think, again, you know, a matchup with Sasky, probably maybe in a regional final. And we'll see how those who get represent Region 2.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to minimize any of these first five by any means, because it's, but it is a bit of the, it is a bit of the usual suspects, right? They're just the standard, right? They, we shuffle them around a little bit, with the exception of Carroll, who's been up there for a little bit. And I did forget about that draw, right? When we were, when we were putting this together, I forgot about their draw. But you know, just the likes of Frisco, Wakeland, South Lake Carroll, just goes without saying. Colleyville Heritage, just so, Bridgeland, so consistent. And like I said, I've been big on Bridgeland. I just feel like they have not been talked, even though they've been consistently floating around in our top five, top six, in the RPI all year. Just do not feel like they're not being discussed more, right? So, all right, let's look at our next five, Coach.
So next five, I have the Allen girls, another great program from the Dallas area, 17-1-2. They just went toe to toe with Prosper, which, great. Yeah, like I said, that district, you know, I know a lot of a couple of other districts, you know, District 6 gets the recognition, but that district also is just as tough as nails. And then number seven, you have, I think probably the best team currently in San Antonio is the San Antonio Johnson girls. They're at 18-1 for some, you know, and pretty much wrapped up their district title. This year, they finally kind of break that, the Austin area monopoly going to state, you know, can be the first one San Antonio to get, you know, get back to the, you know, the state tournament. And then another program, pretty much, like I said, another standard in 5A is Midlothian. You know, just, like I said, just trucking along, 19-2 district title, going to be very dangerous going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then another program, Flower Mound. Like I said, when you have them, Flower Mound Marcus, Hebron, it's a war there in that district. And like I said, they've had an excellent season as well. And then another surprise team that's kind of, like I said, they've been falling under the radar. And I think, you know, in Region 3, if Georgetown kind of whether kind of look behind the mirror, is A&M Consolidated. And I think if those two meet up, that's going to be an excellent game. And I end up seeing them in.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. I don't know if there's a, an undefeated team being discussed less or not enough than A&M Consolidated, right? I would agree. And that would make for an incredible matchup versus Georgetown, who's we're also going to talk about in a second. Yeah, I agree. Allen Johnson, you look at San Antonio Johnson, would definitely agree with you. They've really kind of cemented themselves as probably the strongest team in the greater San Antonio area on the girls' side this year. And then Flower Mound just looks odd seeing them all the way down there at number nine, right? As strong as they've been. But yeah, they're just plugging away as well. So they'll be a contender for sure. All right, Coach, let's wrap up with our last five.
So 11, I have Duncanville. Like I said, they've been in the poll for a while. Like I said, you know, we'll see what they can do in the playoffs, except have an undefeated season. And then number 12, probably the best girls team in the Valley currently is McAllen Memorial. They're at 20-0. We'll see how far they can go in the playoffs. Can they be one, you know, repeat what McAllen did a few years ago and represent the Valley as far as the girls side going to the state tournament. And then Garland Sasky, what you can say about them? Have a great win over Wiley East. And like I said, they're going to be a very dangerous team also in the playoffs. You know, who's say we don't see them facing each other again? And then Georgetown, like I said, state finals last year, pretty much wrapped up their district title. But like I said, we're looking forward to see how what they do in there in Region 3. And then another team in Houston that really doesn't get much. Like I said, they've been also a staple too. Like I said, this year just a little flying under the radar. It's been Ridgepoint. They're at 17-1-3. Mm-hmm. They're going to contend also for, you know, they're in Region 3. They'll make a deep run, and I wouldn't be surprised they get to Georgetown again.
Yeah, a couple of that I want to highlight here. You talk about McAllen Memorial. Definitely would agree. They are for real, guys. Remember that name. All right, remember that that program having a historic season. They will have a big role to play down the stretch in Region 4. And then Georgetown, right? We just mentioned them with maybe potentially setting up to be on a collision course with A&M Consolidated potentially, which would give us a tremendous matchup. And Ridgepoint just quietly plugging away, right? They were just in the state tournament last year. They graduated a tremendous class, a great amount of talent, and yet here they are. They'll be a factor in Region 3 for sure. And then, all right, so that does it for our top 15, Coach. And then now our honorable mentions, if you will, our next five that are right on the precipice about to dive into our 15 here that could sneak in. And a couple of these have been in our 15. Tell us about our next five in, Coach.
So the next five in, I have at Arlington, the Arlington girls. They've been in the surprise this year in the Dallas area. They're, like I said, the record speaks for itself. And they may surprise some teams here in Region 1. You know, I'm sound like Carroll or, you know, any of the you know, Sapphire Marcus or Flower Mound, Hebron, keep you know, that'll be a great matchup test for them. Another great program is Prosper. Like I said, they went toe-to-toe with Allen. They're going to be a dangerous team going into the playoffs. You know, can they kind of muster everything together and, you know, get, you know, and go far? And then probably more, you know, even though don't let the record fool you with those four losses, I still think they're probably the top team for 4A girls, Salina. I think they're going to make another run, and I think they have a really good shot at getting that three-peat. And then a team I had on the poll high, but had recently had a loss. It was against Salado. Right. They just lost to a really good Stephenville, who was a state finalist last year. So no shame on that, because like I said, when Salado and Stephenville play against each other, it's a state, pretty much like a state caliber championship type of game. So, but they're going to be a dangerous team in Region 1, and I want to be surprised if Stephenville and Salado end up playing again, you know, for a third time, you know, in Region 1 final. And then the last one, another contender, Leander. They've had a great season. That's another real dangerous team for Region 4. We'll see how they match up. You know, the way I think possibly Canyon. We'll see. So, you know, what happened last year with the 25-5A district winner, they end up getting knocked off by the number 4 team. So can Leander kind of avoid that and make a run into the playoffs?
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about it here. Prosper, after bowing out, unfortunately, early, being upset early for a couple of years, bounced back last year. But, yeah, here the one that gets a lot of attention, I think, is you have Salina and Salado right next to each other there in 4A. Defending state champ, a team trying to catch them, right, in Salado, who's had a great season and just slipped up for the first time versus Stephenville. And I know Stephenville's probably looking at this right now. It's like, hey, where are we at? Can we get some love, right? So having just knocked off Salado, so congratulations to them. And as you said, right, no foul in the fact that they just, you know, Stephenville was just in the state final last year. So, and then another team you can make the argument that is also getting a lot of discussion in addition to McAllen Memorial is Leander, right? They're in 5A Region 4. So another team that will play a big factor, I think, in Region 4 down the stretch, no doubt. So, all right, and that does it for that does it for the girls, Coach, our girls RPI, and we move on to the boys. Take it away with our first five.
So first five, I have number one at Pflugerville Conley. Like I said, they pretty much wrapped up their district title. Like I said, they were state finalists last year. You know, a lot of teams feel that they're going to get back to Georgetown, even though they got some obstacles, you know, ahead of them in the playoffs and Region 3. Like I said, you got teams like College Station, district rival Georgetown. But they have the talent. Like I said, I had the privilege to see them a few weeks ago, and they have the talent and to what it takes to get back to that final and actually win it this year.
Right.
And then number two, pretty much the staple of 4A the last few years is the Bernie High Boys. And I know the disappointment from last year, Coach Strong has gotten them going. I think they're on a mission. You can say it's just business as usual for them. And you know they want to get back and they have something to prove. And like I said, Coach Strong just have an excellent program there at Bernie. Number three, you have Katy Seven Lakes. They're defending 6A state champs, and I think still favorite too. I think this should get out of Region 3, even though they had a couple ties with a couple district opponents. Like I said, their district's, like I said, it's one of the tough ones in the state. You got Katie Jordan, Tompkins, yeah. You know, Cinco Ranch. Like I said, you know, have an unblemished record as far as no losses. That says something about your program. And then number four, I have Austin Bowie, 17-0-2. You know, from the disappointment from last year, like I said, this year, they've really kind of got it together and they're doing great things. And like I said, they if they can kind of avoid, you know, that first round loss like they did last year, I think they can go make a real deep run and may end up, you know, getting to the state tournament. And then number five, another team that hasn't really gotten much press is the Leander Glenn Boys. That 23-0-1. Great season. I know last year Rouse kind of did the same thing, made that little run. Can Leander do this kind of the same thing here? So kudos to them. Like I said, they're a young school, but the great, like I said, they have a great, you know, built a really great program there, and this is a special season for them. You know, can they finish off, win the region, and then go on to Georgetown?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, Connolly's, you've been very high on them. A lot of people might think they have the potential of very much a senior laden team. They return the overwhelming bulk of what their state tournament team from last year. Bernie, Coach Strong, trying to win their third title in 4 years after what was in terms of their expectations, a disappointment last year. And trying to finish up their last year in 4A with another state title. He'll definitely have them ready. And we talk about this, right? This is one of the factors in the RPI is that the pedigree piece, but also when we know the strength of coaching, right, as well. And you can say the same thing for Katy Seven Lakes, Jimmy Kruger, a program that is just, you know, by some estimations, some people believe they're just buying their time to make it to the state tournament. So we shall see on that one. Bowie looking to make a recovery from last year, phenomenal season, and then we're upset early in the state playoffs. And then again, yes, a Leander Glenn that just, as you said, right, a couple episodes ago, kind of came out of nowhere, right? So I think a lot of people are cautiously optimistic with Glenn and trying to see, it's like, okay, what are they going to do when the state playoffs begin? So, all right, Coach, let's look at our next five here.
So at number six, I have Lubbock Monterey. Dream season for them, you know, kudos to them. They've been, probably the best team in the Panhandle area. Like I said, undefeated. They're going to give some teams some trouble in Region 1 this year. And like I said, you know, usually like you said, like Rachel Falls Riders gets the kind of the accolades, something like the El Paso teams like Del Valle and Bel Air. But they're going to be a very dangerous team. And like I said, we'll see how far they can go this year and see if they can get to the region run tournament. Kilgore, I know in East Texas, you know, Palestine usually kind of gets the press there. But Kilgore's, they've built a really pretty good program there, and they're just trucking along. And is this the year for them to knock off Palestine and actually come, you know, get to Georgetown? So we'll wait and see. And then we have a couple Valley teams here. We got Brownsville Porter. 21-2, they just knocked off a really good number. Brazo Lopez team at Lopez,
yeah,
to get to get back into the district title race. Mm-hmm. But they've been a staple there in the Brownsville area. And then you have their sister school, Brownsville Devetta. I know they had a tough loss with Los Fresnos, but like I said, look at the run they made last year. That I think they still have enough talent to do that run again. And, you know, that's one team you kind of really underestimate them. And then another team in the Austin area, Austin Vandergriff. They've had a great season too. I know Bowie kind of gets a little bit of the press there, but Vandergriff, like I said, if they can kind of get things together, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they can go 2-3 deep, which they have had in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of quietly plugging along, right, Vandergriff. And team that I'm excited to watch here that I want to see what they do is Kilgore, just as you said. Can they challenge Palestine coming out of their region? And can they make that run a potential state tournament run? So very excited to see them. And then, yeah, Lubbock Monterey, right? So very good soccer that comes out of the panhandle that and some very good coaches. But oftentimes, you know, they got to deal with just additional factors in terms of weather as well. So excited to see them as well. And, yeah, we'll see where they go. And rounding out are the last five of our top 15. Take us away, Coach.
So at number 11, I have Flower Mound. Like I said, real tough district with Marcus, you know, Hebron and the Plano schools. But they, like I said, they won state a few years ago. Like I said, I think they're poised to make another run again this year. Allen, like you've mentioned about Allen, senior-related team. Is this the year for them to punch their ticket and get to Georgetown? And then the way they've been playing, they have a really good opportunity for that. Wiley's been a surprise this year. The record speaks for itself, and I think they could be going to be a dark horse going into the playoffs. And then at number 14, I know the girls get a lot of attention, but the Ridgeport boys, look what they've done. You know, a great season, and you know they could contend. And I like to see them. You know, it'd be an interesting matchup for them and Katy Seven Lakes in the playoffs. So that I think that'd be an excellent game. And then another team, they've kind of been a staple as far as, you know, consistent great soccer is Highland Park. This year they had a great they have an excellent season as well. They're great talent there. Another day, like I said, they could be a dangerous matchup in the playoffs. You know, that's one team you cannot take lightly going into in a few weeks.
Yeah, you know, the interesting piece about this 11 through 15 is I almost want, with the exception of maybe Allen, I kind of want to call it the hey, look at us two group, right? Because these programs have gotten a lot of press, a lot of coverage, and rightfully so earned on their girls' side, right? And now you look at it here on the boys' side, Flower Mound, Wiley, Ridge Point, as you mentioned, and even Highland Park, right? I'm not going to say known more for, but as of late, over the last year or two, maybe their boys program or their girls programs, I should say, have been just kind of in the mix more, discussed more, getting more pub. So this is really awesome to see. And yeah, as you mentioned, Allen, right? We just highlighted them as well as our team of the week. Looking to see, can they break through? You know, made a run to the state tournament last year, fell short in the semifinal, looking to maybe make it in the final this year. So, all right. And now our next five in, Coach, those that are just didn't make the top 15, but they're right on the outside looking in. Take it away.
So the next five I have is the first one is the Woodlands. And I know College Park early on was on my list. They were chugging along, but Woodlands say, we'll put a stop to that. And they've taken over the district lead. And they like I said, they're one of the staples there for region two. And it could be an interesting matchup, but they face an Allen team in the playoffs. So that's a possibility. Midlothian, kind of like, look at me now, as far as with the girls, same thing with them. Like the girls get the attention, but the boys are actually having a great season too. They're going to be a team to watch to see that they could be one of those dark horses that gets, you know, sneaks in and gets to Georgetown. Team that's been under the radar that really has no press or anything like that has been Rosenberg Terry at 21-0-4. Mm-hmm. And they could be the surprise team out of the Houston River for Region 3.
Region 3.
So they could make some challenges there. You know, could challenge, you know, maybe Pflugerville Conley. You know, that'll be them, or even to the Georgetown boys team, because like Georgetown boys team too. Same thing with the College Station boys or A&M Consolidated boys. So there's going to be some great matchups there. And then another team from the Valley they've really built a really great program. And I know they sat out a year because of COVID, but they've kind of bounced back as the Progreso. And Progreso's won a state title. You know, could they be the team besides Hidalgo that challenges, you know, Bernie in Region 4 and they punch their ticket and get to, you know, to the state tournament? And then the last one is Frisco Heritage. We know about Lone Star. We know about Wakeland, you know, Reedy. But they've actually been the probably the best team so far in for the Frisco area. And we'll see what they do going into the playoffs coming up.
Yeah, interesting group here. You know, I know you've had College Park in here for a while, and then boom, Woodland's in. So, yeah, Midlothian, as you said, Terry, right? Interesting, right? Seeing them in here and 21-0-4 on the year, and then Progreso being our only our third 4A in this group, right? So yeah, I know Coach Strong over at Bernie, very familiar with them. That could potentially make for a great great matchup there as well. And then Frisco Heritage rounding out our next 5N. So that's going to do it for our state RPI for both the girls and boys. Anything you want to add to that, Coach?
Now, like I said, it's just kind of coming up with this list. It's tough because, like I said, there are some great teams that do kind of get left out, but they're just on the cusp and so forth. You know, this is an actual true pound-to-pound list of, you know, 4A, 5A, 6A. These are your, like, I see the best of the best. So, you know, I check the schedules, I check who they play, and this all four, you know, take consider the districts and so forth. But like I said, this it's a little time consuming, but like I said, this does show, like I said, what the best teams right now we think are currently in the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And we should have probably at least one more state RPI before the second season, as we call it, right? The state tournament begins, right? So you'll see that hashtag going out. Make sure you embrace that one and use that one. The hashtag second season, once the state tournament begins, the state playoffs, I should say, begin. Very excited. And then I know soon we'll have some announcements coming up about bracketology as well. Very excited about that. And before we wrap up, before we finish up here, I wanted to tell everybody here about our good friends at Gipper. Gipper is a way that schools, athletic departments, ADs, coaches, and directors create world-class marketing content. Join over 4,000 coaches, ADs, along with SIDs that use Gipper to create high-quality visual branded graphics for your program. The best part, anyone can do it in seconds on any device without needing any design experience whatsoever. They just recently launched the new update. It's really cool. So for the people that are very, very, very not tech savvy, I guess, you got to jump all over this. What they are doing and these constant updates, and very innovative. It's pretty awesome. But if you are advanced, if you do have a good amount of experience on this, and you are what they call the power user, this is designed for you as well. And you can also save just for being a listener of the 50/50 podcast. You can receive 10% off any first-time Gipper purchase. All you got to do is visit gipper.com/partner/5050 to learn more. Again, that's gipper.com/partner/5050, and they'll make sure they will hook you up. Just, you'll mention the podcast is on there. It'll direct you to the code, and you'll receive 10% off any first-time Gipper purchase. And then also our great friends at Global Scarves, both Bill and Kyle. Global Scarves is the top provider of custom knitted scarves, beanies, and other fan merchandise in the U.S. All merch is fully custom with free design services and free shipping on all orders. You can contact them at info@globalscarves.com to get any free designs or quotes built out for your school, club, pro, whatever you want to do. If you have a supporters group, you want to have some personally done, they will do that as well. Cannot harp enough on the free design services and free shipping. They do excellent work, quality work. We're about to get our new one, our 2.0 scarves, right? Those are coming soon. Very excited about those. You can mention the podcast or use the hashtag 5050 pod. You can use that code hashtag 5050 pod and they'll be sure to hook you up there at Global Scarves. And before I forget, did want to mention one other thing here that we forgot to go back to when we were discussing Region 4. Also wanted to highlight as well as our locations here. So looking at 4A, so our regional site locations. So 4A Region 4. Again, I know we briefly hit on this earlier, but Cabinas Soccer Field, Soccer Stadium in Corpus Christi, known for their lovely breezy conditions, as we say, right, Coach?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 4A will be played in Corpus. These are regional tournament site locations. For 5A, we move down to Region 4, Brownsville Sports Park, where a place I've never personally been, but you have, right, Coach?
Yeah, I've been there. It's a nice complex.
Yeah.
Very nice complex. Yeah.
Good deal. All right. And we wrap up. We look at over at 6A. Region 4, 6A, regional site location. I know Rafa and I are a bit familiar with this one, right?
Yeah. We do see a lot of planes fly there, but fly through there.
Yeah.
It's a nice stadium. Nice Jumbotron.
Comalander Stadium there. Hosted by NEISD, Northeast ISD. Again, that is for 6A Region 4. Coach, that is going to do it. Another great episode. Episode 5, Inside Texas High School Soccer, is in the books. Before I let you go, you guys, you already know, stoppage time. Any final thoughts you want to share?
Yeah, so just like I said, tonight, if anybody watching want to tune in to the SAFC Fancast, will be on tonight at around 7:30-ish, 7:45. So we'll recap yesterday's game, home opener for SAFC. And then we'll also have the San Antonio Roundtable. We'll have that on Thursday. And I'll introduce my San Antonio area RPIs, those for pound for the boys and girls. And then just looking forward to, like I said, that's – the season's closing. Like I said, district certification is going to be on March 23rd. And I know we gave a little taste last week on the roundtable about like a Region 4 mock bracketology. And so we saw some interesting matchups at the current standings. And hopefully we'll get more of it coming on. Both more likely, I think it's going to be March 24th. I think we're going to do our bracketology show.
Gotcha. And that'll be Sunday, right? Sunday, March 24th, right?
Yes.
That should be a fun one. Might have to sprinkle that out over 2 days, over a whole weekend, right? So, yeah, it's here, man. It's here. So that's in 2 weeks. Excited for it as well. And again, district races are finishing up, wrapping up. Some of them are going to come down literally to the wire. So yeah, it's an exciting time, as we call it. This is our March Madness, as we call it, right? So very excited for that. And one thing I did want to mention, obviously, if you're listening to this after the fact, you can't see this, but if you are watching this live, you see it down on our header here on our ticker. Next episode of the 50-50 podcast is slated for Wednesday, March 20th, 8 p.m., 8:05 p.m. to be exact, featuring Cole Oren, assistant women's soccer coach at Baylor University. Very excited to have him on. Again, that is Coach Cole Oren, assistant women's soccer coach, Baylor University. Definitely excited to have him on for what should be episode 109, I believe, of the 50-50 podcast. So that will do it. Again, thank you to everybody. Thank you to Coach Banning from Buda Johnson for joining us. Really appreciate Vista Ridge as well. Vista Ridge High School chiming in here with a comment as well. Thank you for listening. All our supporters, all our listeners, thank you. You are the reason why we do it. We always mention it. This podcast is, it is for the people and about the people that are dedicated to the beautiful game, whether it's at the high school level, club level, you know, or even college level. We try to do the best we can in terms of our coverage, but you are, at the end of the day, the reason why we do it, and we want to tell those stories as best as we can, as often as we can. So thank you to everybody. Thank you for your continued support. And one final note, spring break time coming up on everyone's spring break. So please be safe. We know some districts are playing, some districts are off, some districts are done, right? So regardless, have a plan in place. Be safe, be smart, expect to see everybody back after spring break as we ramp up for the state playoffs. So that's going to do it for Coach Rafa Castorena, the Obi-Wan Kenobi of Texas High School Soccer. All right, I am Coach Hector Cano, and you know what to do. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening. You've been listening to the 50-50 Podcast, powered by National Scouting Report. Help us continue to grow by liking, rating, and subscribing on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 50_50pod, on Instagram at 50_50podcast, as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.